for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. And we'll be looking at the gains of Christ's resurrection. The gains of Christ's resurrection. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was a literal, physical raising of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is the high point of the Easter celebration. It is both an historical and a biblical fact. It's both an historical and biblical fact. You can't deny it, that Christ indeed resurrected. The resurrection is the foundation of the Christian faith. Once you pull out this pivot, everything just crumbles, and Christianity will just be a religion. So what marks Christianity out is what we are celebrating this season. That Jesus died, Jesus was buried, but on the third day, the grave could not hold him captive. Hallelujah. Jesus fulfilled the promise to the Son, and he raised him back to life. What are the gains of his resurrection? That's what we'll quickly look at as we share from the Word of God. But before I go too far, can you help me celebrate the choir, the orchestra, the COP for ministering to us this morning? The way you are clapping this morning, that is not Easter clap. The teenagers and the angelic voices. God bless the angelic voices. We appreciate all of you. Three gains of Christ's resurrection from our text. The first gain of his resurrection that we can glean from verse 3 has to do with the new birth. The resurrection of Christ brought us the new birth. Look at what the Bible says in verse 3b. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The new birth refers to the regenerated life. The gene that we took from Adam was a corrupted gene. That gene, we call it different names. We call it the Adamic nature. We call it the sinful nature. We call it the natural man. That nature is called the old man. It's the sinful nature that we picked from Adam. There's none of us here who went to school to learn how to commit sin. We were born with that nature. Even the baby that is born that is not up to 2-3 months old, you see the baby manifesting that nature even at that tender age. You see the baby sucking the mother's breast, and sometimes we just bite the nipple and look like this. You wonder who taught the baby. David said, "In sin I was conceived. In sin I was born." Everyone that is born of a human inherited the sinful nature. We never went to school to learn how to sin, but we are expert sinners. Before many of us give our lives to Christ, you know your exploit in sin. Praise God. As you are moving from Gulda, larger bear, you are replacing it with what? Tell me now. You replace it with what? Guinness. And as you are dropping Guinness, you are topping it with and so on and so forth. We know those exploits that we carried out. Some of us, you are just changing women anyhow. You carry black tomorrow you carry red, green, and or multicolored. That was the kind of exploit some of us carried in the old life. You know, I'm seeing my daddy over there and I'm wondering whether I should say this. You know, some of the exploits of sin we carried out as young people, my parents didn't know some of them. I remember at a very critical time in the life of the family, because we needed to survive, a family friend who was working in Agbara Brewery, Associated Brewery, I think they called them that time, decided to be supplying us top lager beer so that we can sell. So in the morning, we pack the beer out of the house. In the night, we bring it in. And guess where was the store for the top lager beer? Under my bed. Hallelujah. So after we have sang Kato Sun, Olugbala wa fun wa ni bu kun ale a jewo e se wa fun iwo lo le. You know that song, sang it powerfully like this, and as we get everybody light out, I'll just put Ann under the bed, bring out one top. I don't need opener to do justice. In fact, my wife is probably hearing this for the first time, that her husband. So I just eat the thing like this, palm by the side of the bed, top as like this. And I just go to sleep and enjoy my sleep. The way you are looking at me, didn't you? How about you? But can you see what Jesus can do? That was the work of the old life. That first birth that we received from our parents. Sincerely speaking, if you are an unbeliever and you are not committing sin, you are abnormal. It is abnormal. It is unnatural for anyone that is born of a human being not to sin. It is just normal. So if you are not sinning, actually, something is wrong with you. So one of the gains of Christ's resurrection, that he comes into a life like mine and said, no, I'm terminating that life, that first birth that makes you to commit sin, even when you don't enjoy it. Even when you know that it's not right to sin, you still struggle with it. Jesus, the resurrection and the life, now comes in and evacuates that old life and give me a brand new life. Can I say to all of us tonight that none of us can stop sinning? The only person that can stop it is Jesus. When Jesus comes into your life, the sinless one who knew no sin, who never confessed to any sin, when he comes in, he lives his life in you and through you. Did you get that? That you can't stop sinning. You need a new birth experience. And that new birth is actually a person. Who is that person? Who is the person? Jesus Christ. It is when Jesus now comes in that the change occurs, transformation. So when that happens, your friend that you used to go to those places together, when they ask you to come now, say, I'm sorry, I can't go with you again. They say, what has gone wrong with you? What has gone wrong? I have shared with us sometime before. I led this brother to Christ. I call him brother now. While we're on campus, Ade used to smoke like chimney. In fact, there's no time you meet him that there's no cigarette, you know, in his hand. As he's finishing one, he's lighting the other. My wife knows the person I'm talking about. So I'll be preaching to this brother every morning as I'm returning from my prayer walk. He's going to where he was going to smoke. So I will meet him. I say, I did give your life to Christ. He would just be telling me all kinds of stories. He wasn't willing. So one of these days, on his own, he came to my room and said, Shegun, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I said to you that I've been running after for how many years now? This is about second year in university. So you just walk to my room like that and say you want to be born again. So I didn't take him serious. So when he kept pestering me, I said, okay, come in the afternoon when we return from lecture. In my heart, I wanted to prove the genuity of that person. Lo and behold, Adi was in my room in the afternoon. Prayed, led him to Christ. The first way you know that this brother has received the new birth was what followed. So Ade woke up the following morning. His usual practice is that as he's going to the bathroom, he's going with a cigarette. As he sits there, you know, he's doing his normal thing. So Ade went as usual with cigarette, and he said when he lit the, what do you call it, he just couldn't bring his hand to his mouth. And that was how forever Ade quitted smoking. He became a pastor, serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Who wrought that change? Who wrought the change? Jesus Christ. So we see from that verse 3 that in his great mercy, he has given us new birth. New birth into a living hope through what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the solution to the old nature, The answer to the same question has been provided. That answer is in Jesus. And as many as we invite Jesus into their heart as Savior and Lord, will experience this new birth. And the new birth, let me remind us again, is a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't forget what scripture says in Romans 3:23. What did the Bible say in Romans 3:23? For all have what? How many have sinned? All have sinned. And they have done what? Falling short of the glory of God. One of the things that sin does is that it cuts people's lives short. What actually reduces lifespan is not just the state of economy and situation in the land. Sin, wherever there is sin, there's always a reduction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. What did it say is the wages that we receive for sinning? The wages of sin is what? Is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. I know that sinful nature manifests in us differently. There are some, when they were operating that old life, their own is lying. Oh, they can lie against Satan. And Satan will just jump down and say, excuse me, excuse me. No, no, this is too much. This is too much. This is too much. For some, it is what? Every little thing like this, they fight. So it manifests differently in all of us. But everyone was born with that nature. And the answer is the resurrection. That's why the Bible describes Jesus as the firstborn from among the dead. That apple at the resurrection. So no man with the old birth or Adamic nature will enter the kingdom of God. And I'm praying that every one of us will come to that understanding that it's not enough coming to church. It's not enough just singing, Christ the Lord is risen today. Ah, hallelujah. And yet he has not risen in your heart. You have not come to an experiential knowledge of what he died and resurrected for. Number two, gains of Christ's resurrection, a living hope. We see that in verse 3 as well. He has given us a new birth into a living hope, not a dead hope. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hope speaks about expectation. When people lose hope, they find it difficult to advance. When people lose hope, the tendency is to quit, is to give up. And that's one of the things that Satan does, especially when it comes to the issue of health. I don't know where I was listening to this yesterday, whether it was in the media or somebody was sharing, whether it was a medical doctor that was talking about this, that they discovered that when people have HIV infection, for as long as you don't tell them, for as long as they have not done any tests to show to them that they have HIV, they can carry it for as long as possible and they'll be looking robust, fresh, and all that. But the day the doctor called them and said, from the report that is before us, you have not you, the person has HIV. From that day, that person's health begins to do what? Begins to go down. Sir? Okay, yeah, it was Paul Enechi, yes, that I was listening to. As a medical doctor, that was his experience. That people's health, they said, bring your medical result. You that have been bouncing, even though you have the messenger of Satan inside your body, but you didn't know. You are doing well, moving around, but the day they tell you that this thing has happened. So usually when you want to deal with sickness, the first thing you deal with is the fear of that sickness. Once you gain victory over the fear behind it, then victory is sure. Amen. Today is not only a miracle service, but you know, that was my experience. When I was told that their enemy had stroke, and that alone was a matter. The first victory I needed was to overcome the fear of death. So my first 2 months at home, nobody was there with me. My wife would have gone to work. Church took a decision. Pastor is under stress. That is why they are thinking about stroke. So nobody should call pastor. Nobody should visit pastor. Nobody should. So they withdrew people from me. It was a mistake, even though they had good intention. So she would go to work in the morning. I'm all by myself in the morning, all by myself in the afternoon, all by myself till evening. I wasn't permitted to go to church. You know, church, they love pastor. They say, pastor, we want you to rest. It's not that kind of rest, though. Eh? When you stop seeing people, you stop leading. Especially as a pastor that you have always seen people around. Suddenly, you just cut off that completely. One day, I couldn't take it. I broke down. I started crying. I said, my wife, where's Brother Elias? Where is this person? Where is this? I'm not seeing anybody around. That alone was killing. But immediately God gave me victory over that stage. My head started bouncing back. One step after the other. One step after the other. One step after the other. Some of us now, if they tell you, say you have headache, that information alone. You say the headache you have is the one that has eyes. Has 2 nose. It even has a leg. Once doctor tells you like that, oh, you can't sleep again. Let me tell your neighbor, relax. There is hope in Jesus Christ. Anything they tell you, see, let heaven fall. What did I say? Let heaven fall. You will survive it. Hallelujah. I don't know what they have told you, but I'm speaking under God and speaking also from experience that let heaven come down, you will survive it. Can you hear me tell your neighbor you will survive it? For some of us now, is that there's no money in your pocket. Once there's no money like this, you'll just be sad. That's the only time you are humble. They are very humble, especially today is 31st. So if you are working in an organization that they don't pay salary until the second week of the new month, this is your humble season. Praise God. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. Oh, in the morning, move on, weary pilgrim. Everything's gonna be good. Not many people know the song. Huh? Can you hear me sing it to your neighbor? You know, this is not for service. So. This is not for service. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. Oh. In the morning, move on, weary pilgrims. Everything's gonna be good. Can you sing it one more time to your neighbor? It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. In the morning, move on, weary pilgrims. Everything's gonna be good. How did you think the disciples of Jesus felt that Friday when Jesus was crucified? How do you think they felt? They were sad, isn't it? What else can you say about their feeling? Dejected. What else? Disappointed. Especially for those who are waiting for political appointment. That very soon Jesus was going to appoint men into his cabinet. You know, a long while, the mother of John and James had already approached Jesus and said, "Sir, I need to please register our interest on time. When you win this election, please appoint my two sons." Can you see greed? That's that nature, that Adamic nature. It's a greedy nature. It doesn't matter. It doesn't bother about others. He just wants to grab everything to itself. So, how many cabinet positions did Jesus have? Let's say 12. And you are applying up front. Let one sit on the right, let one sit on the left. They've taken the chief of staff, and which one again? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So can I imagine the Jesus they were expecting will give them position has been crucified. Disappointed. Excuse me, how do you think someone like Peter who left fishing for the past 3 years now, he has not been going out fishing. And the man who will just say, go to the river, just throw your hook, you bring out coins from the fish. The man is gone. How do you think Jesus and Peter will feel? Highly disappointed. Disappointed. They lost hope. The period between Friday, Saturday, sincerely speaking, I guess will be the longest season for them. In fact, two disciples, they took their matter to another level. When you read the account in Luke chapter 24, follow me to Luke 24 and see the story of the two disciples on Emmaus Road who lost hope completely. Luke 24, verse 17, he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" That's Jesus. And when Jesus asked that question, what did they do? They stood still. Their faces are downcast. Their faces downcast. Suggesting what? Disappointment. Suggesting that they were not happy as to the turn of events. Suggesting that they are not even sure of what was in stock for them. After this moment, they were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the thing that has happened here in these days?" It was as if, where are you coming from? Are you not in Jerusalem? Didn't you see, even if you can't see, can't you hear? As to what has happened in our city. And Jesus said, what things? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. Verse 21, can we read verse 21 together? What did they say? But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. He told us he will rise on the third day. We have not seen anything. Hope gone. Is there someone in church this morning that has lost hope? Lost hope in your business? Lost hope with respect to that child? Will it be in the area of your head? You have lost hope. You have concluded that it is over. As far as God is concerned, it's not over. Amen. Amen. For Jesus, some thought it was over. Some of the disciples thought it was over. In fact, these disciples, if we are to act their drama, it will interest you. What made them to leave Jerusalem to now go back to Emmaus? It's like a, we normally say, if you can go forward, you can do what? You can go backward. If this is where our following Jesus will end, I think, Clopas, carry your load. Let's go back to village. Let's go back to the village. And I hope there's nobody here in church this morning that you are contemplating returning to the village. Huh? Let me ask your neighbor, hope you are not planning to go back to the village. Some of us don't even know the way to our village again. Huh? Praise God. So they returned back. They were going back. It was as if everything has finished. Nothing is there anymore for us. Let's return back to our roots and go and start life again, possibly. But thank God that Jesus intercepted them on this journey. And may God intercept you today. Hallelujah. If you read the story, remember that Jesus got home with them. That was a miracle for them that they decided to host Jesus overnight. And they set a table before the master. And the Bible says Jesus took the bread and as he broke it, what happened? Their eyes were opened. They said, ah! You mean it's Jesus that has been following us all this while? You mean it's Jesus? Jesus has risen. Jesus has risen. He has appeared to us. The same people who packed their bags and baggages returning home say, we don't know what has happened. What happened to them after this experience? They returned back to where? To Jerusalem in the middle of the night. I pray God will restore hope to somebody here this morning. I pray the Lord will fill you, will baptize you with the spirit of hope again in the name of Jesus. There's power in hope. See, the expectation of the righteous shall never be cut short. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible says this hope, this living hope that we are talking about does not make us shame, does not put us to shame. You can't continue to have hope in God and be put to shame. NIV says, this hope does not disappoint us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This hope does not do what? Does not disappoint us. The gains of Christ's resurrection brought to us a living hope. A living hope. TPT calls it the energetic hope. When those disciples on the way to Emmaus now encountered the resurrected Christ, they were energized. Hallelujah. They were energized and they were able to defy the odds of the night and return back to Jerusalem and announce that the Lord is risen. The third gain of the resurrection is that the resurrection gives us a divine inheritance. The resurrection gives to us what? A divine inheritance. Inheritance speaks of legacy. Things left behind for us, a bequest, an estate, heritage, and some of us, God blessed us because of the kind of parentage you have. When your parents were living, they left houses. Some, they left large expanse of land. Praise God. Praise God. Is there any sin with that? There's no sin. The problem is now when everything about your life revolves around inheritance. Praise God. My life, your life, should not be centered on what? On inheritance. There's something better, something more glorious that Jesus has provided for us through the resurrection. How many people have died today because of land tussle? Say, no, I won't joke with it. I won't joke with my father's property. My father left this for me. So no way, nobody can take, I will fight for it with my last blood. And eventually they die for nothing. Can you remember Naboth in scripture? You know, many times we look at the story of Naboth and we look at it just from one angle of a man that was defending the legacy that was handed over to him. But you have also not thought of the fact that he died pursuing nothing. Naboth came. Abacha came, say, that's your land. I need it now. How many of us remember Abacha? Abacha, my own Abacha, now is Naboth. You remember Naboth and King Ahab? Ahab just woke up one day. That land has been side by side with the palace for years. The man just woke up that morning. I said, I want that land. And they say, who is the owner of the land? They say, Naboth. They go and call Naboth. Naboth, I need your vineyard. I want to turn it to a garden of vegetable. What was Naboth's response? Did he even see that? He didn't say, O king, live forever. Like the people of his days will do. No, O king, live forever. Excuse me, what was his response? Church, what was Naboth's response? My father left it for me. Let me quote the way Naboth said it for you to know that that guy was very crazy about protecting legacy. He said, the Lord forbid it me. Have you read that King James before? He spoke to the king, said, the Lord forbid it me that I will give my father's inheritance to you. And he was talking to Abacha. Excuse me. What happened? King Ahab got home at the end of work that day and was looking sullen, not happy. And the wife said, "Oh boy, what's the problem? When you left home this morning, you are cheerful. You are even singing with thoughts. So what happened today?" "It's not, but I told him to give me that vineyard by this palace. And he was telling me about one lord that is forbidding him from giving me the property. Jezebel. So is that why you are crying? Is this how to be a king? So you don't even know how to be a king again. Don't worry, I will handle the matter. Go and sleep. Just take your dinner. Go and sleep." And he called for a small piece of paper and dictated to them what is to be done. He said, "Organize a small party. Bring 2 scoundrels. Scoundrels are area boys. Just bring 2 of them. Let them sit opposite each other, facing Naboth. And they should accuse him publicly before everybody that Naboth has what? Spoken against who? Against God and against the king." Usually once you have done that, the law is to be stoned to death. And those 2 rascals came, said that, and they came back with report to Mama Jezebel. Say, "We have carried out your majesty's instruction." And she went and told her husband, "You cannot take over the land." Why are we speaking this tonight? I mean, this morning, why is the Holy Spirit giving us a detour? Could there be somebody in church that you are dragging property? Could there be some of us, even in your family now, you don't see eye to eye? Parents, I mean, children of the same parents. They left just one house that has 5 rooms. And you are quarreling over one room. And you are speaking like Naboth. "The Lord forbid me. The Lord forbid me. I will not joke with my papa inheritor. Not joke with my papa inheritor. I'm sorry for you. It's not everybody that fears God. Where they are going, you cannot follow them. The things they are doing, you cannot do it. We're engaged in unnecessary battle. Trust God for your own, and God will bless you. And you will live long." Can you imagine Naboth dying, excuse me, for nothing? Died for nothing. And so, yeah, and daddy left, he left two cars. They're fighting about cars. God have mercy on you. But can you see what the Bible says? The inheritance we have through the resurrection. There are 4 descriptions. As I round up this message, I want to call your attention that describe the inheritance, the divine inheritance that Christ gave to us. And sincerely speaking, for me, this is good news. You may not be able to buy land while you are on this side of eternity. You may not be able to buy land. You may not build a house. If God bless you with land, praise God for it. If he bless you with houses, praise God for it. Amen. Amen. But if you don't have any of those things, rejoice. Amen. Because there's something better. There's something more glorious that Jesus has provided for you and I through the resurrection. Look at what the Bible says from verse 3, I'll read to verse 4. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Can we read verse 4 together? And into what? An inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Four things about that inheritance. What's the first thing you notice there? Is the type that never perish. Never perish. This inheritance will never perish. What's the second thing the Bible says about it? It does not spoil. What's the third thing about it? This inheritance will not fade. And lastly, the reason why it will not spoil, it will not fade, it will never perish is because it is kept somewhere for you and I. Where is it kept? Where is it kept? It is kept in heaven. Do you see one of the reasons why we all must long to go to heaven? Why? Because something is waiting for you and I there. Something is waiting for me. Something glorious is waiting for you. An inheritance that will never spoil. Houses will be spoiled. Clothes will fade. Land, they can seize it. There's none of these earthly things that last. They're ephemeral. But through the resurrection, Jesus has provided you and I a divine inheritance that will never perish, never spoil, never fade. It's kept in heaven. I pray you will not miss yours. In the name of Jesus. Shall we bow heads in prayer? How is your hope level this morning? How is your hope level? Have you depleted in hope? Have you lost hope? Are you already packing your stuff? Sister, are you contemplating packing up that marriage? You've lost hope. You've lost hope. Are you contemplating after Easter? I'll just go and resign that job. I'm tired. I can't continue like this. Are you in church this morning? You're even contemplating killing yourself. Contemplating suicide. Because you have concluded that it's finished. I'm saying to you under God this morning, there's hope for you, my brother. There's hope for you, my sister. Through the resurrection, we have a living hope. 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 I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why he cares for me. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm glad he did. In sorrow is my comfort. In trouble is my strength. It helps me every care to roll. Is the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never leave me, nor yet forsake me yet. While I live by faith and to his blessed will, I will affirm about me and all my idols born. In my hungry soul shall be satisfied. Then sweeping unto glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Is the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Can you thank the Lord that we have a living hope? Can you thank the Lord for the new birth that we received through the resurrection? Give him praise and give him glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, you are the resurrection and the life. Glory to your holy name. Is there somebody in church this morning that's saying, Pastor, can you pray for me? I'm dying in my spirit. I'm losing hope. I'm getting tired and weary. If that is your story, can you just rise up on your feet? Let's pray for you. Let's pray for you. You know you are downcast, you are tired in your spirit. In fact, you are wondering, where am I going from here? Where am I going from here? God bless those of us standing. God has brought you to church this morning to minister to you. If you don't mind, just raise your two hands to heaven and say, Lord, I hand over to you my disillusionment, my depression. I hand over to you my discouragement. I receive hope. I receive a living hope. A living hope. A living hope. Father, behold your sons and daughters standing before your throne of grace. Please minister to them now by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask right now you will touch them in a special way. Every spirit of discouragement, every spirit of disillusionment, every spirit of frustration, every suicidal tendency, the Lord rebuke you. We cast you out. Out now. Out of their heart, out of their spirit. We proclaim liberty over your soul right now. Receive the oil of joy for morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive the living hope. Let hope arise. Let it arise. Let it arise from your inner man. Let it arise now. Let it arise, Father. We pray that you will shine your light over these lives. And Lord, give them a miracle to the praise and glory of your holy name. Thank you for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. We are still praying with our eyes closed. With our eyes closed. I want to pray for that person, that brother, that sister. We say, Pastor, I want that new birth. I want that brand new life that Jesus has fully paid for. If that is your desire this afternoon, can you raise your right hand? You want the new birth experience. God bless the hands I'm seeing. God bless the hands I'm seeing. God bless the hands I'm seeing. Thank you so much. God bless you. That's the reason for the resurrection. Keep raising the hand. I want the new birth. 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 God bless you. Keep raising your hand. Keep raising it. Somebody's coming to attend to you. God bless you. I'm still seeing a hand unattended to. I'm still seeing a hand unattended to. Nobody's at the gallery to help us attend to those at the gallery. I need the new birth, the new birth, the new birth, the new birth. That old birth that you have is taking you nowhere. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. It takes this new birth to gain access. So waiting for you, if that is your prayer, whether you raise hand or not, you want to join these ones, come and join them before we pray. Just come and join them. Come and join them. Come and join them. Come and join them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes, we are waiting for you. If you raise your hand to receive the new birth, just come. We'd like to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm waiting for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on to the light. I am tired, I'm weak, I'm old. Through the blood, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on.
We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.